Obama, Messiah.
He is the Messiah. Oh, we could have done that. I didn't think about that. You can scream and shout. Well, we'll save it. With all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, and moan. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Either you are wrong or I am right. Don't forget, the ever-present, most likely third possibility. You are wrong. And I am right. That's how it has gone down for the 11 years that I've been podcasting. That's how it's gone down since 1999 when I founded the Cynical Libertarian Society. That's how it goes down. Because I am the Great One himself. And this is Stating the Obvious Podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile my intellect homes in on and destroys motherfucking statist. All around the world has a stupidity seeking nuclear warhead. And it fucking launches, and it's up there, and it's flying through the air at fucking Mach 3. And with its special stupidity sensors, it's listening for anybody who says stupid shit like, without the government, who would build the roads? And then it swoops down in and blows them the fuck up. And then they're dead. And then there's no more statist. And then we can all live in the glorious world of Ancapodice, where there are no inferior people, and everyone creates value for other humans, and they all get along. And you don't have to have laws to tell people that, hey, you know, you shouldn't, it's wrong to kill other people. Because in Ancapodice, you wouldn't have any people who are so fucking stupid that they need the government to tell them that killing other people is a bad idea. There is no failure like the failure of democracy. Fucking over 200 years, the United States have proven that. And yes, all other political systems are failures too. Communism failure, you know, monarchy failure. We've seen the failure. Anyways, these guys, they are like the founding fathers. They're like, yeah, we're going to try this new experiment. We're going to try this democracy thing. We're going to see how that works out. Well, I think the verdict is in. I think we have the evidence. Democracy has given rise to the welfare parasite, the social justice warrior, the military-industrial complex, presidential elections. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you're still denying the failure of democracy, I just don't know what the fuck is wrong with you, but I understand, though, you know, these delusions, they die hard. And the Great One himself, founder of Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com, on the interwebs, drinking hot tea today. This is the nut, what is it? Honey nut, but fuck, I already forgot. Oh, wait, it's right here. It's on the fucking teabag tag. Teabag tag, motherfucker. Oh, no, it's not. Never mind. God damn it. Nut bush? Honey bush. That's honey bush from Numi. It's one of my favorite teas. In the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. Just a reminder for those of you, or if you're new to the podcast, Randy is not an anarcho-capitalist. She is an evil Republican. But we try not to hold it against her too much. And today is the 29th of June, 2016, the year of our Lord, Hussein Obama, the Savior, the Messiah, he who closed down Guantanamo Bay. Oh, wait, he actually didn't close down Guantanamo Bay. Or anything else. At some point, we will probably, because I still have it, unlike those of you, you read it when it came out, you believed it, and you walked away. I still have Hussein Obama's Blueprint for Change. You can get it on the website, too. I have it downloadable PDF form. One of these days, I'll stop getting distracted. I was looking for it because I thought I knew where it was. I thought it was right here on the bookshelf behind me, but it's not. But it's somewhere. I got it somewhere. One of these days, I will go through the Blueprint for Change, and we will make fun of all the things Hussein Obama said he was going to do but did not do, which was pretty much everything. How's your free healthcare working out? How's that going? That is not what I'm looking for. Where? Oh, that is what I'm looking for. Notes. So, as usual, fired up the RSS feeds and got some shit and got distracted. So over at Computing Forever, if I remember, I'm going to embed the video in the show notes for this. Over at Computing Forever, he released a video about Apple. What did they do? Did they still got this up somewhere? Where the fuck is it? Yeah. Apple is awarded. Okay. It says here Apple is awarded the patent. And I think somewhere that it said that they submitted. Yeah, it's Apple filed for the patent back in 2011. And I'm pretty sure I talked about this then because I remember talking about this. Well, of course, then again, human memory is flawed, so it's possible I remember things that didn't actually happen. Those are called false memories, and they do actually occur. And nobody's immune from them. Apple has been awarded the patent on technology that would essentially allow, via devices, will allow for your iPhone, or I don't know if it's just iPhones, it probably can be applied to any kind of phone. I don't think it's just an iPhone. But the technology basically will prevent a cell phone, a smartphone, from recording video or taking photographs. And I talked about this many years ago. I know I did because it was brought up that Apple had applied for the patent. And of course, one of the potential uses of this is for police officers to have jammers that they carry with them, say in their police cars or whatever, so that any cell phones in the vicinity of the police misbehaving will be disabled and nobody will be able to photograph or record the police's actions. And the way this is presented in the articles is that this technology would be used, say, for example, at concerts to prevent people from recording the concert, or in museums to prevent people from taking photographs of things they're not supposed to take photographs of. And if you're wondering why you're not supposed to take photographs in a museum, part of it is because the flash, really ancient stuff that is in museums, especially like paintings, especially things like that, flash over time, and this may be hard for you to believe, but those flashes, all of that light is radiation, light is actually doing something. When you flash your camera in the direction of the Mona Lisa, there are actually particles going through the air from the flash hitting the fucking Mona Lisa. The flash, over time, added up, can degrade the photographs. It's just like you take the Mona Lisa, you stick it outside in the sunlight. Sunlight is going to ruin the painting much faster, certainly, because the sunlight lasts for, on an average out of a year, 12 hours a day, and the sunlight is much more intense and all this other stuff. But it's the same concept. And that's why you want to keep old items in museums away from sunlight and away from flash. So the application talked about in the news articles on the interwebs is to prevent people from recording concerts, which, and I don't have so much the concern for the concerts about, oh my God, the musicians are being violated or whatever, but it's just you assholes who go to concerts and hold your fucking cell phone up and block my view. Because, yeah, it's basically I'm selfish. That's one reason I just don't go to concerts that much anymore, because all it is you're just looking at this sea of fucking cell phone screens because every douchebag is trying to record it instead of actually just enjoying the fucking concert while it's happening. But of course, there are much more concerning applications for this type of technology. I said the police putting the jammers in their cars. And of course, political whatevers, campaign speeches, government meetings, whatever, just any place where the government or the corporations or the media or whomever wants to prevent any kind of recording from going on. Now, I don't know exactly how this, I don't have enough information to know how this works with the cell phone. Like, will the cell phones have to have a particular technology in them in order for this to work? Is it a hardware thing? Is it a software thing? Like, can older cell phones be not susceptible to this, so forth and so on? I don't know. We'll find out. But this sort of stuff is coming, and I'm surprised it hasn't really arrived in full force yet. So we can... It'll come. We'll see what happens. The guy... What the fuck is his name? Computing Forever. I want to say his name is Dave. I might be full of shit. I know that some of you are saying, yeah, dude, you're full of shit, dude. Yeah, I know. Just fucking suck a dick and... And suck a dick. Apple Keynote. Yeah. Apple Keynote. Let's see. What's your fucking name, dude? He's in Ireland. Dude, what's your fucking... Dave! Alright, he has links. Wait, is this him? Dave knows stuff. The 10 most overrated video games of all time. Unreal. All right, the 10 most overrated video games of all time. His name is Dave. You know what? I might kind of have to watch this. And just out of general curiosity, I might have to watch this. Oh, and then I'm still watching the video game movie of Alien Isolation. So here's my review of Alien Isolation, having never played the game, just having watched the video of it. The whole thing where the main character is Ripley's daughter was... You know, so they, oh, we're going to try to suck you into the story because you're Ripley's daughter or whatever. I mean, God, guys, can we just... I don't know, that kind of stuff really annoys the fuck out of me. And yes, I know that this has nothing to do with what we're supposed to be talking about, but it's my podcast, just a reminder. I can tangent whenever the fuck I want to. So the whole, oh, it's Ripley's daughter thing is kind of stupid. And of course, the company is the bad guy. I mean, you knew that was going to happen. As far as the graphics go, the one complaint I have about the graphics is the aliens themselves are not really very fluid. I mean, essentially in the game, they walk around on their hind legs pretty much like humans. I think it would have been better if they would have made the aliens' movements more alien. And, you know, yes, I recognize the xenomorph. They were hosted in humans. They're adapted to human bodies, yada, 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 because that's how the xenomorph biology works. It takes the traits from the host so that to help it, because the host can obviously survive in the environment the host is in. And so when the facehugger implants the embryo, as it's growing inside the host, adapts the traits of the host, yada, so forth, so on. But still, it would have been nice to see aliens are more alien. Other than that, the visuals of this game, I think, are pretty fucking impressive. And I don't even know when this game came out. But they took much of the visual look from the movie Alien And, you know, you see all the hints of it. And, like, the computer room is the same. And the corridors have the same general look. And so it's very, if you've watched the movie Alien and Aliens, you see all these things that you recognize and little inside jokes and all this other stuff and all these similarities. And so they borrowed very heavily. And it's got a nice feel to it. And the graphics, I think, look pretty fucking sweet. It looks like a really neat environment. And the androids, of course, are gone rogue. And incredibly hard to kill. I don't know what difficulty level this guy is playing on. But I think the androids, I mean, they're just, they're not, you know, I mean, like, she's pumping fucking 6 bullets from a revolver in these things, and they're still walking. I don't know. I think if you, well, you're getting some headshots, they should go down, goddammit. Anyhow, the visuals of the game are pretty impressive. It's a very nice-looking game. Back to cell phones. Dave, in his video, points out a couple of things as he's tangenting a little bit himself, because tangenting is what us cool people do. He made the point that if you can control people's cell phones, you can, to a great extent, control their lives. And this is true because so many people, so much of what they do, everything they do, it flows through their cell phone. At this point, the fucking smartphone has become the nexus of existence for such a large number of people. If you take away their cell phone, I read somewhere there's actually a name for this now, what is it called? Anxiety you feel when you're separated from your cell phone. There's some official name for this. I suppose maybe this is a mental illness or something now, or a condition or something. Whatever the fuck it is, there's a word for it. There's a word for the anxiety people experience when separated from their smartphones. And the fact that such a word has to exist indicates the degree of patheticness we're dealing with here. Now, the thing Dave mentions in his video is backdoors in computer hardware and software, and he talks about how even Donald Trump is in support of those things, and yeah, of course he is. I mean, yeah, just a little reminder, even though I'm telling you should vote for Donald Trump, and even though I'm saying I'd rather have Donald Trump as president than Hillary, and Hillary's still going to win, but just because I'm saying Donald Trump would be a better president than Hillary, that doesn't mean Donald Trump's not a statist piece of shit. Of course Donald Trump's a statist piece of shit. But regardless of who wins the election, we're going to get a statist piece of shit as president of the United States. You have to ask yourself, do you want a femistatist shit lib to be the president, or do you want a statist shit lord to be the president? Of course, it doesn't matter what you want. We're going to get Hillary Clinton, because the United States of America as a whole deserves Hillary Clinton. Then the Muslims are going to come, and then they're going to come inside the white women, and then we're going to collapse. We being the nation state of the United States. That's the royal we. The royal we is doing all of this stuff. Anyhow, Dave talks about the back doors. Just want to remind you, I just talked about the book some odd episodes ago, Data and Goliath. In that book, the author, Bruce, whose last name I can't remember, you know, he talks about the back doors are already in the software and the hardware. They're already there. Your cell phone, your smartphone is the key to your entire life, and the government and the corporations already have access to all of this. Hot tea. This tea is good. All right. What is this? Notes here. Is this important? Nope. Is this important? Nope. Don't want to talk about this. Nope. All right. Let's get back to stuff. I have more stuff here. Oh, I have this stuff too. What's this shit? Right, that is definitely not happening now. What is this? Okay, that happens there. This happens here. That's the good shit. Okay, more news from back in the homeland of Texas, the great state. So this is all ancient history. This is December 31st, 2015. Am I supposed to be reading more than that? No, it looks like it. Okay, so new open carry legislation effective January the 1st. The coming of the... that's really what it says. Okay. I thought I misread it. Nope, not a typo. Journalism at its finest. The coming of the 2016 brings heightened interest statewide in two new laws in particular that were passed by the 84th Texas Legislature in June 2015. The first is HB 910, a law conditionally allowing the open carry of handguns in public places. It will take effect on January the 1st. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, the law authorizes individuals to obtain a license to openly carry a handgun in the same places that allow the licensed carrying of a concealed handgun, with some exceptions. Furthermore, quote, unconcealed handguns, loaded or unloaded, must be carried in a shoulder or belt holster, and, quote, individuals who hold a valid concealed handgun license may continue to carry with valid existing license. Not a typo, unquote. A separate license will not be required to open carry, and no additional fee will be required. So, open carry with a license. Not sure why the fuck you need a license, but whatever. It's statism, it's the government. So open carry has come to Texas, and the question is, this started on January the 1st of this year. Have the slaughters happened in the homeland of Texas? No, they haven't. You know what hasn't happened in the homeland of Texas? There have not been any homosexual Muslims going into gay nightclubs and shooting people. That hasn't happened. Just throwing that out. That's all I'm saying. This is January the 7th, 2016. A new law allowing handgun open carry in Texas under certain conditions has had a relatively quiet start in Colorado and Fayette County since it went into effect on January the 1st. Police Chief Todd Jacobs said Tuesday, January the 5th, that his office had received no calls or made any arrest in the first days after the law took effect. Were they expecting to have to arrest people? So if the law says you can openly carry a sidearm with, of course, government permission, with your license, what exactly would you be arresting people for? What kind of calls are you expecting to get? Quote, I've yet to personally see anyone openly carrying, unquote, he said. He said he had fielded some questions from residents about the law and gave a presentation to a nonprofit group. He also attended a program by the Chamber of Commerce in December about the impact of the law. Sheriff Lieutenant Troy Niesner said he was not aware of any calls or arrest in the first few days. Again, why would there be calls and arrest? Sheriff Lieutenant David Beyer also said his office had not gotten any calls or made any arrest. Why are all the police officers expecting... I shouldn't necessarily say the police officers are expecting. It could be the fact that the journalists, because they're really intelligent, the journalists are perhaps asking the question of them, has anyone called you about the open carry? Have you arrested anyone? And, you know, I'm from the homeland of Texas. I grew up there. I know sort of how the police down there think. I can imagine, especially the sheriffs, I can imagine the sheriff kind of looking at this journalist with this bemused look on his face and being like, girl, the fuck are you talking about? Who has this expectation that because people can now carry a sidearm openly in public, that there are supposed to be calls and arrest Oh, yes, the statist. This whole thing on how many, have there been any calls? Have you made any arrest? This is, and I suspect the journalists are asking, because I'm pretty sure if you go to three different law enforcement officials and say, so what's up with the new open carry? The odds of all three of them saying, well, we haven't had any calls or made any arrest. So I think there was a question involved here, and it was the same question put to all of them, and the question was probably, since the open carry has happened, have there been calls about it? Have you made any arrest? Because this illustrates the little tippy top of the fear that statists have of handguns, right? Guns in general, but just the terror that the statist encounters at the thought of citizens being armed. The new law allows individuals who have a license to carry a concealed handgun to also openly carry a handgun in most public places. Private property owners or businesses can prohibit a person from openly carrying a handgun on private property. I just found it was interesting. The whole attitude presented. Are there going to be any problems? Have there been any problems? Have you had any problems? You mean like, have any homosexual Muslims come into gay dance clubs and shot people? No, that hasn't happened. We haven't had any fucking problems. There have been no Muslim terrorist attacks in the state of Texas, in places where open carry is allowed. No, we've had no fucking problems. Isn't that fascinating? Okay. More from the great state of Texas. Texas is a wonderful place. The government there, pretty fucking statist. I've talked about them before. The police. It is, man. It's very... If you're a new listener to the podcast, you haven't heard this before, you're not from Texas. Texas is very police statey in some ways. Like down where I'm from like South Central. So like down near the border, there's all the focus on, of course, the illegal immigrants and the drugs. And the further you get from the border, the police really don't give a flying fuck about illegal immigration. Like the area where I'm from, I'm a pretty good ways from the border, but still south of Central Texas. So I'm on the southern side of Texas, South Central. And we're pretty good away from the border. It's like around there. No, the cops don't give a flying fuck about illegal immigrants. It's like you in the small town where I grew up, everybody knew who the fuck the illegal immigrants were. You knew where they lived. You saw nobody gave a shit. Cops had better shit to do at their time. Nobody fucking cared. But down in the fucking great state of Texas, the police state of Texas, there are two things the cops care about. And if you fuck this one up, you're in deep shit. One of them is speeding, because that's an easy way for them to make money, is giving out tickets. And believe you me, these are not cheap tickets. At least not where I'm in the area where I'm from. And Highway Patrol takes that shit serious. You do not want to get caught speeding by the motherfucking Texas Highway Patrol, because you'll have to mortgage your goddamn house. The other thing, Texas police, fucking police state, is drugs. Oh my fucking. Texas will probably be the last state where marijuana legalization happens. Oh my, the drug, their obsession with drug bust. Not just the marijuana, anything. Anytime there is a drug bust, the pictures are in the newspaper, there's the cop, and there's the dog, and there's the piles of marijuana, and the stack of money. And oh my, dude, if you even remotely look like you might have been in the same city with marijuana at some point in your life, man. I'm telling you, you can fuck around with the dope in other states or whatever. You can come to Colorado and smoke. I'm walking down the street the other day and this group of guys, there's like, six, seven of them. They're walking down the street and I think they're out of town. She's like, yeah, man, Colorado is the greatest. And they had the biggest fucking joint. If you've ever seen a Cheech and Chong movie, okay, we're talking Cheech and Chong level joint. I am not bullshitting you guys. If you've seen like the large Churchill cigars, this motherfucking joint was at least 8 inches long, and motherfucker had to be close to an inch in diameter. It was huge. And there's walking down the street smoking this giant fucking joint. Which, technically, I think, not a fucking lawyer, and I don't give a shit because I don't care about the laws, but I think, technically, it is still illegal to smoke your dope in public. It's just you can smoke it in your house and on private property, but you're not supposed to do it on the public sidewalk where we were at. But then you tell you get away here. Nobody, dude, you do that in Texas, you will never see daylight again in your life. Like, oh my god, the fucking obsession with drug warrioring in the fucking Texas police departments. It is on the level of fanatical. And I don't use the word fanatical. I use the word fanatical to mean what the fuck it means. I mean, they are zealots. They are fanatical about the drugs. Texas is not a place where you want to take your dubage. I'm just saying, don't fucking get caught with drugs in Texas. That is the wrong fucking state for the drugs, okay? Beautiful state. There's lots of great things about Texas. The police are not one of them. The statism runs pretty fucking deep. All right. So my mother sent this to me. My mother, the left-wing statist. And she puts her little commentary on here. She writes, being an idiot. So this is the governor of Texas being an idiot. Now, anarcho-capitalism should be no government, yada, yes, we know all of this. And I talk about anarcho-capitalism less, other than when times when I come back to natural selection, explaining how anarcho-capitalism work, yada, yada, yada. Only because, yes, anarcho-capitalism is a thing. It can be a paradise. It can work. You have to get rid of the inferior people. There's all these things. We don't have it right now. What we have is where we are. And I talk about where we are, and I point at and I laugh at it and I critique it and all this other stuff. But we live in a statist society. This is just a fact. You don't have to like it, but you better fucking accept it. We live in a statist society. So keeping that in mind, that we do live in a statist society, let me read this to you, and we're going to go through this and say, what exactly is wrong with any of this? Because my mother, a left-wing statist, thinks that this is terrible. She thinks this man is an idiot. Governor Greg Abbott on January the 8th unveiled his Texas plan, a document promoting the passage of 9 constitutional amendments, quote, to rein in the federal government and restore the balance of power between the states and the United States, unquote, he said. Now, I haven't heard anything about this anywhere in the media. I would assume that it has zero traction. I mean, a constitutional amendment, good luck on that. 9 constitutional amendments, good luck on that. Right, this isn't going to happen. But he's put forth this idea, and I'm sure, so you could probably type this into Google and find out, I'm sure that he has been viciously attacked by the left. I don't have to type this into Google and find out to know for a fact that he has been viciously attacked by the left for putting these forward. Because, of course, it starts off that he wants to restore this balance of power between the states and the federal government. And, of course, if you're a left-wing statist, this is not something you want to happen. Left-wing statist, more so than right-wing statist, but all statism in general, this is one of the big problems, is it always pushes towards, well, let's get the power at the highest level. Right? But especially the left-wing statists want all the power at the federal level because they control the federal government, pretty much. The federal government is much more a left-wing statist leaning than many of the state governments. And of course, this is also, if you're trying to compare statism to anarchy, you'll see that the anarchist always wants the power at the lowest level possible, right? This is why in Ancapodice, you have tribes. You have towns. And as you get closer, you really don't even have a nation state, because at that level, there's no formal government, certainly, but at that level, there's just no power. The power all resides in the smallest group possible, the smallest block of organization. And this is antithesis to the statist, because the statist wants some all-seeing power at the top of the hierarchy that can decide what is right, wrong, good, bad, and force it equally upon everybody so that everyone equally suffers, right? We don't want just small, isolated groups of people here and there to make bad decisions and suffer. No, we want to make sure that the misery, the suffering, is spread equally across the entire fucking population. And if you don't want to participate in the misery, then you are racist, sexist, homophobic. We're going to censor you and put you in prison. Okay. The amendments Abbott is proposing include. So here they are. Here's the 9 amendments. These, according to left-wing statists, are evil. Let's hear about the evilness. This is the evil. Prohibit Congress from regulating activity that occurs wholly within one state. Okay. I'm not really seeing how that's evil. And again, we live in a statist society. I don't want the state to exist, but I don't really see a reason to oppose that. I could get behind that, right? Now, if there's like an amendment to, like, let's have some contrast here. If somebody came up, well, I want an amendment to put all of the Jews in concentration camps. Like, okay, see, I can oppose that. There's a violation of the non-aggression principle. I can come up with reasons to say, no, that's really not a good idea. I'm going to be opposed to that. That's going to make things worse. In a statist society, prohibiting Congress from regulating activity that occurs wholly within one state, I don't really see how that's going to make the world a worse place. I don't see any violation of the non-aggression principle happening here. Number 2, require Congress to balance its budget. Now, I can understand why statists are opposed to that one. That's impossible. That will never happen. So certainly I understand why the left-wing statists think that is evil. But again, okay, we're in a statist society. The government has to not spend more money than it takes in. Yes, taxation is theft. Yes, we don't need to fucking hash through all that. We're just dealing in reality. Would it be some great violation of the non-aggression principle to make Congress not spend more money than they steal from the people in the form of taxes and print and borrow from China? I don't think that would be a bad thing. So far, the evil Governor Greg Abbott is 2 for 2. Number 3, prohibit administrative agencies and the unelected bureaucrats that staff them from creating federal law. Well, yeah, laws at the federal level are supposed to be created by Congress. That's what Congress was created for. And all of these bureaucracies, when they create regulations and all, those are laws that have not been passed by Congress. Technically speaking, I'm pretty sure that's already unconstitutional, but of course, nobody's read the Constitution. The Supreme Court doesn't give a fuck. Okay, I still don't see anything to disagree with here. Number 4, prohibit administrative agencies and the... Oh, no, I read that one already. So I think, well, wait, that, They're not numbered. 1, 2, 3. That was number 4. We did number 4. Number 5. Hold on a second.
Let me use some technology.
Technology is called an ink pen. Those of you who are millennials, God, I saw this video by this millennial. Oh my God, you're gonna, believe you me, you're gonna hear about it. It is so pathetic. Oh my God. The fucking retardedness level of the millennials is unbelievable. Okay. Number 5. Allow a 2/3 majority of the states to override a U.S. Supreme Court decision. Now, if democracy is such a great thing, and we know it isn't, but the statist left-wing and right-wing cling to the concept of democracy, what would be bad about 2/3 majority of the states overriding a U.S. Supreme Court decision? Wouldn't that be democracy? Are you saying democracy is not a good thing? Are you saying democracy is less important than 9 old people who wear dresses making decisions? And it's fascinating, too, how much the millennials want. I saw this somewhere. I didn't follow any of it. Something like old people need to die because millennials are smarter. Isn't it fascinating how the millennials want the old people to die off, and yet so much of their existence revolves around these 9 old people on the Supreme Court who wear dresses? So if democracy is so great and old people are so stupid, would not allowing a 2/3 majority of the states to override a U.S. Supreme Court decision be a good thing? Remember, democracy is wonderful until the outcome you wanted isn't the outcome that actually was arrived at via democracy. Then, of course, you have to have a recount and then a revote and then another revote. And you just keep voting until you get what you want. Number 6. Require a 7-justice supermajority vote for U.S. Supreme Court decisions that invalidate a democratically enacted law. So if people democratically enact the law, it would take 7 of the old men, old women, old people wearing dresses to agree that that law needs to be overturned. Again, if democracy is so fucking wonderful, and if old people are so stupid, how is this a bad thing? Now, the left-wing statists, well, I guarantee you on this one, they'll point to abortion. They'll say, well, this is because the evil southern states where black people are oppressed and all the white people are racist and the women are property, the evil southern states are going to vote to make abortion illegal, and then they're going to force all the women to get pregnant and stay home and not have shoes and make babies. And they're only doing this because they don't want the Supreme Court to be able to overturn their laws making abortion illegal. I promise you that's exactly what they're thinking. And as I pointed out, this, they don't need to do this because Obamacare. Because when, if, and actually just on a quick side, tangenting, just on a quick tangenting, if Donald Trump doesn't win this election, and he's not going to win this election, we may never see another Republican president. People have been saying that for quite a while, for many years back. I've heard other people saying it. I was not prepared to jump on that bandwagon and say, yeah, you're right about that, until just recently, because I thought, okay, you know, Obama's coming to an end. The Republicans going to have another chance. We're going to see who they come up, yada, yada, yada. It's like, I'm reserving judgment on this. Having now seen Donald Trump's, you know, there's all these idiots who think they know what Donald Trump means and what he is. Here's what Donald Trump means. Donald Trump shows us that on the national level, the Republican Party is completely clueless. The Republican Party will continue to exist on state and local and also, but at the national, again, it's like, guys, we just had 8 years of Obama. You know, he's youngish, he's pretty, he talk pretty, he's black, he says words that don't mean anything. Hillary Clinton is coming in as his successor. The woman is rich. The woman is powerful. The woman has had people killed off for her power. The woman has turned a blind eye while her husband has sex with anything that moves. The woman is devious. And look at the people that the Republican Party came up with to oppose Hillary Clinton. I mean, look at this. That's the creme de la creme of the Republican Party. And the fact that Donald Trump, with his many faults, with his orange hair, and, you know, again, you can, all the things you can find, the fact that Donald Trump used to be a Democrat, the fact that Donald Trump is friends with Hillary and Bill Clinton, the fact that Donald Trump gave money to some foundation, something Hillary Clinton raised money for, doesn't matter, there's Google, you can fucking look it up, right? Despite every fucking fault that Donald Trump brings to the table, despite being hated by the Republican establishment, despite the Republicans attempting to Ron Paul the fuck out of him, despite here in the state of Colorado, when you went to the Republican primary, basically, long story short, this is on the internet, you were told you can vote for Ted Cruz. That's it. You're not allowed to vote for anybody but Ted Cruz. Right? Despite all the attempts of the Republican Party to stop Donald Trump from being the fucking nominee, he's the nominee. I mean, the Republican Party at the national presidential level, it's dead. Donald Trump was the fucking stake in the heart of the Republican Party. I am perfectly willing at this point, having seen this, at this point, I will now absolutely get on board and tell you there's not going to be another Republican president of the United States. The Democrats have got this until some new party arises and displaces the Republican Party as the other of the two parties in our two-party system, which of course is not an official two-party system, but despite anything you may think, it's a fucking two-party system. Nobody else can get in there with a reasonable chance. At the national level, the Republican Party is officially dead. Donald Trump has killed it. The only way it will survive is if Donald Trump wins this election, and then I think people may flock to a reforming Republican Party based more around the Donald Trumpian shitlord philosophy as opposed to, I mean, I don't even know what the fucking Republicans are anymore. They're like these sissy Nancy, they're like, I mean, I don't even know. That's the thing. They're just completely fucking, you know what liberal Democrats stand for. Social justice warrioring, hating white people, bringing in immigrants, you know, abortion, welfare. The military attacks on it, bombing other countries, killing people with flying robots, spying on people's email and telephone conversations via the NSA. You know exactly what the Democrat Party stands for. All of those things. The Republican Party, they're directionless. And you can see that in the shit that they threw up against Hillary Clinton, one of the most connected, most powerful, most evil women who has ever walked the face of the earth. And the Republicans come up with Ted Cruz. I mean, no, they're dead. At the presidential level, they're dead. Unless Donald Trump wins, and I still maintain he's not going to win. Okay. How'd I get there? Tangenting. I am tangenting. Oh, yes. So the supermajority, seven justice and supermajority for a democratically elected law. Again, if democracy is so fucking wonderful, what's wrong with that? And of course, we know the answer is that the libtards, the left-wing statists, the social justice warriors, they like democracy, except when democracy doesn't go the way they want it to go, and at that point they want to be able to use the Supreme Court to overturn democratically elected laws, because what the majority wants is good, unless the majority doesn't want what I want, and then the majority is evil. They're racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump, KKK. All right, number seven. Restore the balance of power between the federal and state governments by limiting the federal government to the powers expressly delegated to it in the Constitution. That's already in there. It hasn't worked yet, but okay, good luck on that one. But again, there's nothing there that terrifies me as a fucking anarcho-capitalist. It's not like an amendment that says it will be legal for the government to monitor all of your communications and record all your emails and phone calls and save that indefinitely. I mean, that's terrifying shit to an anarcho-capitalist. The federal government being limited to the powers it's specifically delegated it to, this is not terrifying stuff to anybody who's not a goddamn fucking fascist piece of shit. Number 8. Give state officials the power to sue in federal court when federal officials overstep their bounds. Yes, because the federal courts will find federal officials guilty. I mean, that's just, again, that's mostly harmless, but it's not going to do any good. That one is a waste of time. Federal government finds federal government guilty of misdeeds. I mean, you're never going to read that in the newspaper, so there's really no point. Number 9, allow a two-thirds majority of the states to override a federal law or regulation. Again, if democracy is so fucking wonderful, what's wrong with this? So this is what terrifies the fuck out of left-wing statist. There's nothing here to be terrified of in the context of a statist society. Yes, from an anarchist perspective, it's all terrifying because there's a federal government. But if you say there should be a federal government, none of these limitations on the federal government are even remotely frightening. Manny Garcia, executive director of the Texas Democrat Party, said that Abbott's proposals would, quote, tear apart the Constitution and take America back to an equivalent of the Articles of Confederation. As if this idiot has ever read the Articles of Confederation. Nobody alive today has ever read the Articles of Confederation. You have no fucking idea. Garcia added, quote, America added 292,000 new jobs in December, but under Abbott, Texas fell to 6th in job creation and remains the uninsured capital of the nation. Wages and income remain far too low for hardworking families. Our neighborhood schools are still underfunded, and college education is slipping out of reach. Texas families deserve serious solutions, not Tea Party nonsense, Garcia said. Okay, but all of these amendments concern the federal government. It has nothing to do with anything that Garcia is talking about. Notice the left-wing statist. Oh, I have no real reason to oppose any of these amendments, which are rooted in democracy, so instead I'm going to point to poor people. And look, go look, look, racism. Statist, left-wing statist, social justice warriors. You have a one-fucking-track mind. One-track mind.